where are your buddies?
Warner's a deadbeat.
Yeah.
Pinder's on honeymoon.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, I guess that's legit.
No, it's not. He got married last year. Like, enough.
Less legit.
And, yeah, Derek Wills, our play-by-play guy, apparently he's going to Napa Valley to go wine tasting, so he has to tape.
Yeah. See, all, well, it's the break, right? This is when those guys get to rest their vocal cords.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got Preach coming on today, I hear, right? I've got something you have to ask him if he indeed shows up.
Here's the thing. I had to pre-tape him as well
because
he's going to Tampa for the All-Star break.
That's terrible because you did. Well, now, and of course, now you've revealed that this is a pre-tape, so I've wrecked the magic of radio for
everybody. Yeah, I know.
Sorry about that, because there's a great Tim on Tim and Sid last night. It was Tim and Carolyn Cameron. God knows where Sid was, but they ran a spectacular clip from back in the days on the, they worked on The Score, right, which is now Sportsnet 360. But so he was there. Tim and Sid were there. Greg Sansoni was there, who's now one of our bosses, and they were the face of the XFL in Canada. And they ran a spectacular clip of the XFL launch party in Toronto, which I actually remember when Vince McMahon came to town and Tim with hair and Greg Sansoni hosted it. They had a red carpet, so they have all these limousines pulling up, right? And the doors open and various wrestling personalities, WWE personalities, step out, and there's a crowd, and you know people are cheering and for it. And then a limo pulls up, they open the door, and who gets out? Elliot Friedman. It's the greatest walk. The camera follows him all the way in. And apparently there were other people in his limousine who were more famous than him, but the cameraman got it wrong. And there's this great clip of him almost doing a wrestler walk, I would say, up the red carpet. So it's he came right after Trish Stratus or somebody. So it's worth trying to find. If I'm Elliot Friedman, that's the greatest moment of my life.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially because it's Elliot, number one.
Right. He's got the suit and tie on, right? He's looking good. He's doesn't age, which is kind of a strange thing, but looks sort of the same as he does now. But there he is. The door opens and the crowd gasps because there's Elliot, who was way less famous then than he is now.
Yeah, the door opens. He steps out of the limo.
Yep.
His walkout music starts.
Could it be?
Oh my God!
Yeah, Jim Ross comes in. It's fantastic.
Good God Almighty! The Jewish nightmare! Elliot! Oh my God! How could you?
It's totally, totally great. So I'm sure it's out there. Probably where Tim and Sid got it. It's probably floating around in the internet
somewhere out there. Yeah.
So, yeah. Go find it. It's worth it. So there we go. Elliot Friedman leads right to the XFL.
Good stuff. Okay, let's talk about the XFL. I guess I don't know where to start with it. Let's start here because it's fresh in my mind. I'm already seeing the negative feedback. Why is it that people want it to fail? Like, what if it was really entertaining and good? Why would you want to cheat yourself out of something that might be entertaining in your life?
It's a weird thing, isn't it? There is, certain people react to Vince McMahon in a certain way. I get that, and they, I'm not sure how many people actually remember the first XFL and what it was like, but, you know, it's funny, I saw among other things, the attendance figures from the XFL, and you think it was a one-season disaster, right, total television ratings collapsed after the first week, et cetera, and all of those things, but, you know, every team in the XFL, just, you know, not to pick on the week, but every team in the XFL but one drew more than the Toronto Argonauts drew last year.
Mm.
So, you know, they drew 25,000-30,000 people for their games. But, you know, obviously it was a bigger play than that. It was a big TV play with the NBC and, you know, it didn't. There were a lot of things going on there that didn't work. But, yeah, it's funny. I've watched several, you know, in the course of my lifetime, a bunch of kind of rival leagues, the leagues trying to get a piece of that pie, trying to get a piece of the pie of football in the United States especially, because everybody thinks, the NFL is the biggest and college football is huge, and there's a million players cranked out every year. You don't have to pay for them. There's no minor leagues. So why wouldn't you be able to get just a tiny little sliver of that market and make a go of it? It's proven to be really, really difficult, but I don't know. Like, I remember, I watched the XFL opening night. I watched a bit of it. It was interesting to see what they tried to do, and, you know, then it got kind of boring after a while, I guess, but it wasn't... Yeah, it's funny. People complain about the NFL, and the NFL obviously right now is kind of under siege on a lot of fronts. But anybody who has tried to compete with them, that would include the CFL when they went to the States, people just kind of turn their noses up at it automatically, and I'm not totally sure why that is.
Yeah, so anyway, we can move to the mechanics of it. What did you make of Vince and the presser yesterday? I guess what little criteria there is that he laid out as far as the league is concerned.
Well, I guess it's not going to, he said it's not going to be gimmicky. It's going to be about football, which is, potentially dangerous because, a little bit of gimmick is probably a good thing, and Vince is probably better at gimmick than he is at running a straight league. Single ownership structure makes sense. Obviously, we are kind of in a post-network television environment, or we're entering one, so the idea of having a broadcast partner is less important because you can get the games out in a bunch of different ways. And I don't think he's going to do a deal with a conventional American network. I'm sure it'll be pushed out on, Facebook or something along those lines. YouTube will be used, but certainly something like Facebook would be used. He said no bad people will be in the league, and they'll stand for the anthem, which is kind of playing to a certain crowd, I guess. But there you say there are very little details. No cities announced. You don't know how he's going to get stadium deals. What he does have, this is true. There are a lot of football players available, and some of them are well known because of their college careers. I was just looking at a stat. The NFL, every year on cutdown day, so right before the NFL starts, 1,200 players are cut in the National Football League. That's, so that doesn't count the guys coming out of college. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count the guys who haven't played for a year. 1,200 football players are cut loose. So, you can fill out those rosters pretty darn easily. I still think, if I'm Vince, and I'm sure this is the way they'll go, I would be trying to sign the Tim Tebows and the Johnny Manziels and, everybody else who kind of falls through the cracks in terms of the NFL or who failed in the NFL but still has a big name from college. I'd sign every one of those guys.
I agree. And I can't help but wonder if there might be the odd rogue college player who gets out of school early or just doesn't go because he wouldn't mind making a bit of money.
Yep. Well, that's, that used to happen in the CFL more where guys, would come up here who hadn't done enough, hadn't spent enough time in school to qualify for the National Football League draft back when you had to, go 4 years. And, God love the old alma mater, but you're going out there getting your brains beat in for no money.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in college. You could blow out your knee. So why not get paid? And I think there will be guys who do that. And, that's to me, that's the vulnerability of the NFL. It's not the first round guys because they're going to get paid. It's the guys who slip back a little further, even. Even guys in their draft years who slip back a little further and, in that system are not going to get compensated particularly well. Why not go play for money for a couple of years and see what happens? Just like the WHA, back in the day when players who, including Gretzky, guys who said, look, I'm not going to, your system is not going to reward me fairly for my talents. I'm not sure what I'm getting into, but I know I want to get paid.
I wonder if it'll be one of those things too, though, where because I hope it succeeds and I think I want it to work. I don't know that I would honestly sit down and watch it because is it one of those things? Yeah, football's great. We love football, and then you forget how many bad football games you watch during the NFL season that you love more than anything else. And if these games are kind of dull and kind of boring, and you don't know the players, how soon that honeymoon could potentially be over?
I was thinking about this yesterday as well. Because they always talk about the quality of football. Well, the quality of football won't be good enough, and I don't think that's the right argument. Because there's football of varying qualities available all through the summer and the fall, right? From the CFL, the NFL, the various layers of college football. It's different watching Alabama play Clemson or Alabama play Georgia than watching a Div 2 game or a Div 3 game in the States. So there's all kinds of different qualities of football. High school football. It's not, people don't judge, don't sit back and say, well, this is a really, these are the most elite athletes, so that's why I'm watching it. It's about caring, right? It's about investing in it. Like, you can invest a lot in a high school football game, in a CFL game, in a college game. You can invest in it. You have to care, right? It's about the caring. It's not about kind of a sitting back and making an objective judgment about how good the players are. So it's the hard thing is making people care.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you break through that. I don't know how you convince people to attach themselves to your team. Because, you know, look, I don't know about you, but I watch a lot of, I like football. It's, you know, as my kind of, it's my narcotic in a lot of ways. And I will, especially in bowl season, I will sit and watch two college teams I've never heard of for a couple of hours and find a rooting interest and sit through that. But that doesn't mean I would sit and necessarily watch a whole season of those teams, or that I would follow them closely, or that I would feel any great kind of passion for them. And that's what you need. You know, you need the week-to-week caring. And, you know, the WFL couldn't do that. The USFL, which, you know, had, actually, if you look at the players who were in that league, they had some really, really good players. I covered their last championship game. It was good football. But, you know, you were competing, you know, in markets where the NFL was, by and large. You were trying to get people to switch allegiances. That's hard. You know, the CFL struggles in places we've talked about, getting people in Toronto to care about the Argonauts the way they care about the Leafs or the Blue Jays. So I don't know. I think you can put on completely acceptable football games that look like football, where there are, you know, there are great plays and lots of, you know, lots of violence and all the stuff people love about football. But I'm not sure you can flip a switch and make people care about it.
Yeah, which is why I'll be very curious to see what the host cities are, because I don't know what would constitute a success. Is it gate? Is it TV ratings? Is it just strictly profit? Because I wonder if you find the right little niche markets where it could work and people actually come out to it. Does that make it successful? I don't know what the bar is for success or failure, at least early on.
No, it's a great question because it's changed, right? I think we're all kind of used to the idea of empty seats in stadiums and arenas because people don't come out for sporting events the same way as they used to. That you know, we all say, well, that's not, the experience of watching a game at home now is so good that people are quite inclined sometimes to sit, and even with their favorite team, to not go out and watch it. You know, there are empty seats in every league, including the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so is it gate? Well, gate doesn't seem to matter as much anymore. Is it TV? Well, you know, TV is a weird, isn't probably not the right measure anymore. The idea of kind of, again, conventional television with advertising, because everybody thinks that's a dodo, or it's soon to be, that, you know, that no one sits still to watch games and sits through commercials. You know, you need alternate delivery. You're going to need alternate delivery methods. People are going to be watching it through different kinds of devices and are doing that. So, it's a really good question. How do you measure? Like TV ratings, you know, every year we go and say, well, boy, those ratings aren't as good as they used to be. No ratings are going to be as good as they used to be.
No.
You know, and attendance is always going to keep, you know, is going to go down in places, or it's going to be soft. So how do you measure success? And I think we're still trying to figure that out. You know, maybe Vince McMahon's figured it out, but I'm not sure on what curve you're kind of measuring this.
He is Stephen Brunn, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan and Boomer in the Morning. Speaking of the Argos,
mm-hmm.
and this, I mean, it kind of ties in. Guys that have their eyes on the NFL, and we saw it with McCaffrey last year. He didn't play in the bowl game because he wanted to be ready and healthy for the draft, and it worked out fine for him because he was a terrific rookie. And now James Wilder Jr. with the Toronto Argonauts, very good player, sent a letter to the Argos and said, I'm not playing.
He said I'm not playing, but it's, you know, and it's a, so he's got one more year of contract left. And, you know, a lot of folks out there say, well, you got to honor your contract, right? You signed a contract in good faith. You've got to honor it. But the letter he sent, I think, you know, people should kind of look at that because he, you know, it's a very respectful letter that he sent, kind of open letter to the Argos and to their fans saying, and James Wilder Jr. is a guy who had a breakout year for the Argos this year, would get some looks in the NFL. You know, probably not more as a special teams guy, you know, an end of the roster guy, but he would get some looks. He's got an NFL build, big guy, big, strong, fast. But, you know, if he plays for the Argos this year, he would make, in his American dollars, $46,000. That's not a lot of money.
No.
You know, to play 18 games, and for 18 games and a training camp, that's not a lot of dough. Never mind the danger factor. Never mind the fact your career could end instantly. Never mind the fact your life could be altered if you have the wrong kind of injury. And, you know, he's weighing $46,000 American against staying home in the States, working out, working on a day job. He works construction, where you could probably make $46,000, and then taking a shot at the NFL, you know, after his contract expires at the end of this year, because, you know, if he catches on somewhere in the NFL, even as a league minimum guy, he's going to make 10 times that. So, like, I kind of get the calculation. You know, be loyal to your team and all of that and honor your contract, but, you know, this is a guy's life. And I kind of see where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is less about kind of holding the Argos for ransom than it is saying, you know, I'm doing a cost-benefit analysis here, and this cost is way too high and this benefit's way too low.
And in some way, you could really understand why McCaffrey or whoever did it, because you're going to be a star in the National Football League from all appearances.
Yes.
For James Wilder, it's kind of, you're hoping you get a sniff. You know what I mean? One was far more close to a guarantee than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same, like you said, for 40 grand?
Yeah, would you do it? Maybe you would, you know, and all of that. But, you know, and again, look, a guy like McCaffrey, big-time college players, you know, one of the things those guys do is they look around and say, hang on a second, everybody's getting paid except me. You know,
right.
My coach is making millions of dollars. You know, my athletic director is making all kinds of money. They've got shoe deals. They've got all kinds of deals. And I'm going to do this for free. So, yeah, it's been great. And Stanford, where McCaffrey went, is a great university, and you get a great education. But you know what? Rah, rah, rah and all that. But I've got a life to live, and I've got, you know, if I blow out my knee, my life's going to be significantly different, even with my Stanford diploma. So I get that calculation. But, you know, it's different for these guys. You're right. He's not going to make millions and millions of dollars, James Wilder, I don't think, ever.
Yeah.
But maybe he can make 400 grand for a couple of years.
It's funny you mentioned that, the diploma. Oh, yeah, right, there is that other side of it. It's not just that you didn't get hurt or that you got the contract. Oh, school, that's right.
Yeah, there is that. There, you know, and again, if you go to Stanford, it's not, you know, it's different than going to Baylor.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty good school. But, yeah, I'm thinking if I'm James Wilder, I might make the same decision. I read that letter and I thought, you know, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Argos do now. Maybe they offer him some more money. But, you know, running backs are kind of a dime a dozen, right? They come and they go. You know, that's kind of the brutal reality of it. But I read that letter and I thought, you know, I think that's honest, right? That's not like agent talk. That sounds like a real guy kind of looking at his life.
Yeah, I mean, loyalty sounds like a wonderful thing to have. They're independent contractors, and I'll tell you what, football teams, they're as heartless as they come anyway. You can't play? Okay, well, you're out, right? In all of sport, is there a more ruthless sport than football in terms of next one up?
No. You know, again, even in the NFL, no guaranteed contract.
None.
So, yeah, you get your bonus, and you get that, and you fight for as much guaranteed money as you can, but everybody is expendable. You're a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, loyalty is not a two-way street in that game. And so the notion of fighting for as much money as you can possibly get when you can get it, rather than, you know, remaining loyal to a uniform, I know from a fan's point of view that you want guys to be loyal to the team and the uniform and the town and the fans and all of that, but I think you got to kind of put yourself in their shoes occasionally and understand what that's like, and also understand the kind of punishment those guys absorb for their money.
Did you experience any type of emotion when you heard that Vladimir Guerrero was going to go into the Hall of Fame as a member of the Angels, not the Expos?
No. Speaking of calculations, I was surprised because, I mean, we talked about the Battle of the Gophers that we went through last week.
Right.
His two guys. Well, the guy who's the now ex-Gopher again, was the one that went public and said he was going to go in as an Expo. So I think that probably didn't enhance his, you know, career with as Vladdy's aide de camp. Being the first, there has never been a California Angel, Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim in the Hall of Fame. So if you're the first, I think there are some commercial benefits from that in the autograph signing world. So, you know, my guess is Vladdy made another one of those calculations.
Who would have been close? You kind of got me thinking now, like, who would have been a California Angel or anybody who spent enough time with the Angels? Like, there would have been guys that would have been Hall of Famers but were there for a very short amount of time. I mean,
I think there were. You know, again, I have to go back. Like, I think Nolan Ryan pitched for that.
Sure,
correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, so they've had guys who late in their careers especially played for the Angels but who chose not to wear the cap into the Hall of Fame. You know, Pujols will be an interesting case when he comes up for the Hall of Fame. You know, will he wear an Angels cap or a St. Louis cap?
I still think of him as a Cardinal, don't you?
Yeah, I do, and, you know, but the Angels certainly, you know, looked after his, you know, looked after him.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's it, but it is funny to think that they've never had one. And I guess Vladdy would have been, what, the third Expo, right, after Dawson and Timmy Raines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets to be the one, the only one, and I'm sure that will do him some good on the autograph circuit.
Now, yeah, so with, and it's probably a loaded question because I know that you have, there's some frustration with you and the Vladdy Guerrero, just the Guerreros in general.
Yeah.
Now next week, give me your plans, because I know you're getting set.
I'm going fishing next week.
Okay, so you're not.
To clear my mind and to think not of Guerreros at all for a week. And then after that, we're going to kind of reset. So I'm hoping that the week after, by the time we reach the beginning of February, we will have engaged the new gopher, the ascendant gopher, and we'll have built a strong and trusting relationship with him, and we'll be ready to go off to Santo Domingo and make TV.
Quite a hierarchy he must have, because, I mean, people are in and out.
Yes.
The way to get to Vladdy Jr. is by Vladdy Sr., but how do you get to Sr.? It's very, I feel for you.
It seems kind of fluid right now, so I'm hoping it becomes somewhat less fluid in the next 10 days. Yeah.
Well, we're going to miss you for a week, but I understand.
I'll send pictures of fish for, because I know Rhett likes them.
Yeah, that doesn't help, but thank you. We appreciate it. Have a great week, buddy. We'll talk to you in a couple.